Starting off at almost 5 to 2, 6 minutes to 2 o'clock in the afternoon here in Dublin City. I'm sure we do have some extra listeners along. Judging by the phone over the last few days, we've the usual listeners, of course, with us, always welcome, and some additional ones as well. I do notice the more polished accents coming on the phone every now and then. Nice to have you all along. If you haven't listened to news before, well, apologies, it's always late. It's usually supposed to be 1:30, and it ends up at, well, 1:45, 10:02, 5:02, and all the rest of it. Usually on account of yours truly being up half tonight, normally repairing this, that, and the other, or trying to get new equipment on the air, or as is the case over the past few days, talking to all sorts of visitors to the station. That's why I'm so hoarse. I've never talked so much over the past few days. There've been people from everywhere and anywhere. Waterford, Cork, Mullingar, and all of the stations around the city. The ordinary listener coming along telling us keep the flag flying there and things like that. Now, station news, what's happening at all? It'll be a bit disjointed to get all of the things into a proper order. I would have wanted to walk right through the night and get them into some kind of an order and a script and all the rest, but the news on Radio Dublin at 1:30 or 2 o'clock on a Sunday is never orderly, unfortunately. Never go by script or anything else. It's all ad lib as such, with just a few little notes on this, that, and the other has come up. Tucker's Federation, Sunshine, Department of Education. There'll be little notes down along to remind me that there were happenings on that, or to mention whatever it is. So there you are. The news. Well, now what is happening news-wise? Everybody knows about the raids and all the rest. Sunshine, Nova during the week there, and Nova back, I understand, last night and still on today. Power-wise, I'm not too sure. If they're coming from Herbert Street, they probably 30-40 watts on FM. If they're coming from Green Acres, it's so less than that, it's probably about 5 watts. But it's getting out around the city, that's the main thing. And at the moment, listeners don't complain. They're quite prepared to put up with noisy reception, so long as they can actually be heard in the stations on the air. That's their main concern. But you notice that if you're listening to RTE2, not too many listeners now, I'm afraid. Slight antagonism towards RTE, and I suppose you can't blame people, but they seem to be fairly well onto the advertising bandwagon. Within about 15 minutes of Nova closing down, they had this nice new ad about if you're in the Dublin area and you would like to advertise on radio, well, give us a ring at the 69 whatever it is, 5544 I think it is. It's amazing, so fast off the mark. You'd often wonder that did somebody there know about this raid situation? They wouldn't know the actual date and time and all the rest of it, but they must have known that it was fairly close to the raid situation. I should have known as well. Thank you for the good gentleman who rang me about the television. I did not see anything wrong in ringing me about the television. I couldn't read between lines at that point in time. Perhaps I was meant to, perhaps I was not. If I was meant to, thanking you very much, it's appreciated, I can tell you that. Nice to know that somebody looks out for us out there. But we do like to know in advance of such strange happenings in raids on radio. We're, I think, fairly well prepared, but just simply not prepared at any stage to just abandon listeners, leave them there and depart. You can never say that Radio Dublin would have abandoned the listeners and departed with a great deal of money in their pockets and all the rest. We never will. We're not that kind of a station, I'm afraid. Others probably will. They will at some stage anyhow abandon ship when the going gets rough and depart. I did expect that I was the last of Nova when they had gone off there the other evening. They were after the raid, they were off, came back in on the following day and closed down at 6 o'clock, and I thought to myself, that's the end of that. And I needn't tell you, anybody from Nova that I'd been talking to got a fair bit of slagging on the situation, that listeners were being simply abandoned when there was quite a good transmitter there. It had been in operation and it was just switched off voluntarily at 6 o'clock, and listeners were just told, well, that's that, there we are, we're gone. I don't think listeners like that. They can understand that if you run out of transmitters and you've been raided so often that there's no equipment left and it has to be actually made up or ordered from abroad or whatever, which is going to take some amount of time. That's understandable, but where there's transmitters available to actually broadcast, well, they should broadcast and continue working away. And the position with NOVA being that they'd lost about £200,000 in equipment. And there goes my headphones. Let me try and get them back again. £200,000 gone in equipment in the first raid. And there they were with two transmitters, two fairly small, certainly not valuable. The medium wave transmitter, I know of it. It's a homemade, an Irish-made product, definitely guaranteed Irish. Its actual value, I suppose, would be a few hundred pounds as such. The FM, I don't know about. It's terribly low powered and valued at about the same thing. So the loss of them, along with the £200,000 worth of equipment, well, sure, so what? The little bit extra, drop in the ocean. So that's why I can't understand other stations closing down as well. They lose their equipment, okay, but sure, if they don't lose their equipment, what on earth are they going to do with it? Sell it to somebody abroad? Not at all. Homemade equipment won't sell anywhere. If it's commercial rig, well, for what they've paid for it, they won't recover that. So, there you are. I think stations should actually stick it out on the air. Not to hassle the government. Personally, I'd prefer myself that there was sit-down talks and all the rest, and straighten the matter out. But I think they should stay on the air. If listeners want it, there are no listeners to a station, I can't see the point in them being on the air. Some around the city like to play around, mess up the local radios, televisions and all the rest of it, and annoy people and things like that. Ones like that, well, they should be done away with fairly fast, but they're not. They let play around on the band and have great fun, and well, that's the situation. The bigger ones that are, well, keeping people in employment and giving people some enjoyment out of the radio, well, they're the ones that are being hit. As to why they didn't hit us first, I simply don't know. I suppose case of strategy. Clear out the big ones first, they'll pack in easy enough and depart. Clear all the rest and then get to Radio Dublin. As somebody up in Greenacres there said while they were removing a load of equipment into a truck, the fly in the ointment in Inchicore, well, it perhaps will be the fly in the ointment. But as I said, I'd prefer the sit-down talk situation rather than this fun and games. If it's fun and games, okay, there's no better man for fun and games than myself. We can play. As I might have mentioned before, we're used to it, we're used to raids, we've soldiered to a lot. We've researched raids, we've come up with what the way the post office men tick, what makes them go. We've done a small bit of research, and a few odd papers flew in the car window there one day as to what they're actually up to. Those involved in radio are wondering what happens. Well, it's a complicated situation. There's a lot of people involved in planning and all the rest of it on the raids. There's very few. There's possibly 2, 3, 4 at the most know the actual time and date of a raid. There's no such thing as getting word of it unless it's directly from one of those 3 or 4 people involved, or perhaps he said it to somebody else. Most times he hasn't. There's so few involved that stations are getting calls around the countryside saying that it's a post office lad, he's a postman, he's this, that and the other, he knows so and so, and there's a definite raid on yourselves or whoever it is tomorrow morning. It's only somebody messing up the station more than anything else. It's unlikely you'll get information on it. Even with ourselves, I do assume that we were more or less warned beforehand. I couldn't read between the lines, and, well, that was that. Fortunately, we weren't hit first. Unfortunate for the post office. They would have cleared out everything if they'd come here first, and we wouldn't be on the air. However, as you see, we are. But the unfortunate part about it is that at the moment our Channel 2 is closed down, both the medium wave outlet and the FM. Now, it will be back on the air as soon as standby equipment is available. Now, there's some standby equipment around the city, there's no doubt of that. So, any station that's not intending using their medium wave or FM equipment, and they'd like to part with it, well, I'm sure you know where it would find a nice, neat little home. There's no guarantee you'll ever get it back. It's more likely that the post office will take it away at some stage. But as I said, we're not prepared to go back on the air until we have backup equipment. There's little point in annoying listeners and things like that by going off and staying off for days and having to actually manufacture equipment to get back on. So that's the situation. Stations around the city or anyone that can hear us a bit further away can help out there. They have equipment, they're not going to use it, so why not head up this direction, give us a ring and arrange a time. And as soon as we stand by equipment, as I said, a medium wave and an FM, one at least of each, that'll take Channel 2 back on the air. We've good plans for Channel 2 if things work out right, and you may hear some of your favourite disc jockeys that are on other stations, that were on other stations that have departed. Well, I'm sure there's a spot there for them that could work wonders. Channel 2, as I said, working normally 6 to 12 at night. I'm sure it could work longer hours if there were some disc jockeys available, if you get the general drift of things. Back to the situation with the post office, the way they plan out things, you see. this is going back to the raid there back in 78. This is a piece of paper with some typing on it. I won't say where it came from, as I said. That search and seize operation Radio Dublin on 17-1-78. Please see Mr. Dempsey's report on the search and seize operation Radio Dublin during the afternoon of 17-1-78. Alternative Radio Dublin was traced to a new location, 42 Belvedere Place, and was intended to raid it after the raid on Radio Dublin had been completed. However, when we returned to Lion House with the equipment from Radio Dublin, it was discovered that ARD had gone off the air after saying that it would probably be raided. It was decided in the circumstances not to raid ARD. Those of you listening to radio for a while, for a couple of years, will remember those days. They were exciting. We had a huge march on the streets and all the rest of it. Now, it goes on a bit further. I spoke to Mr. Trapp on the 18-178 about the desirability of removing post office poles which are being used to support Mr. Cook's aerial. It is gathered that the poles are not in use by the post office. Mr. Trapp is to look into the matter and will let me know. In my opinion, we would be open to the charge of being reckless if we simply cut the wires loose from the poles while Radio Dublin is on the air. Radio Dublin would claim that there was high voltage on the aerial wires and that people who might come in contact with them would be in danger of electrocution. We wouldn't have claimed any such thing. We would have claimed that they got burnt hands and things, which they would have. Accordingly, it will be necessary to raid or visit Radio Dublin again at the time of disconnection of the aerial wires and hopefully removal of the pole. I use the word visit because I feel that any appearance of the law accompanied by other personnel at Mr. Cook's door would automatically lead to disabling and dismantling of his transmitter. The visit could be for the purpose of checking whether he has a license for his TV set. 3 TV sets were seen in his house. Dear me, TV sponger. Terrible. Removal of the poles will not put Mr. Cook off the air, but it would mean that he has a much inferior aerial and his signal strength and range will deteriorate accordingly. He will reconnect the aerials unless the poles are removed. You see the idea, and then it goes on further down, probability of successful prosecution and all the rest of it. It gives you an idea into the workings of the department, how they think in there and all the rest of it. They think ahead as to reasons that will be thrown up for whatever they do along the way. So, there you are. That's the general gist of how they work. Now, further into news, we won't say where that little bit of paper came from. Oh, I said it blew in the car window there one day while I was driving along the road, and I don't know where on earth it came from. Now, there's no doubt that this present situation has come about from pressure in RTE there, the unions and the NUJ and all the rest of it out there. Naturally, these NUJ members are the very ones who are going to knock on commercial radio's doors looking for jobs when commercial radio gets off the ground, but at the moment they're complaining about it, that they're almost on the breadline. They may be out of work, and as far as I can see, nobody has ever yet been they haven't been working, but they haven't been dismissed out of RTE. It's not the IN thing to do to dismiss people out of state and semi-state bodies, so they won't lose a job. It's as simple as that. Whether they've anything to do in the place or not, I don't know. It's most unlikely with 2,300 people. One-tenth of them could possibly work. The other nine-tenths, well, they can sit back and have a rest and enjoy the week's wages for sitting out in the sun in the garden in the front, sure. Why not? But in RTE, there's other slight problems they're trying to pressurise lads into. There are no other stickers and other radio station stickers on ordinary individuals' cars out here, working in Montrose, it seems. Now, not staff cars, just the ordinary, the staff's own personal cars. And the RTE are getting upset about these stickers. It seems they have to come off their cars. I mean, how low can one stoop, or what on earth do they think they're running out there? Concentration camp, it does seem. Now, onwards we go down into news. If you were reading there the Herald during the week on the raids and all the rest of it, and you saw a photograph of who was in it at all? Chris Carey was in one of them there, and alongside Ted Neilan. And if you thought that was strange that he's made now a minister for RTE, well, it may have been a misprint, but directly under his photograph it said, Mr. Ted Neilan, Minister for RTE. Perhaps it is right, perhaps it's not. I haven't heard of the changeover. He was Minister for State for the Department of Post and Telegraphs, but it does appear now as a new title, Minister for RTE. Changed sides, going very one-sided anyhow. Now, what else down along the line? I think everybody has enjoyed a bit of excitement along the line there the past couple of days. It's been fun and games and all the rest, but I think it's back to serious broadcasting, because some of the things they have apologies to make to some of our neighbours here, they're very considered. They put up with a lot, there's little doubt of that, but the past few days now, it's been more than most would normally put up with. Car horns blowing day and night as they pass by the station here, and some of the staff actually encouraging it to make it worse. So I think that situation is eased off, and apologies there, and well, I'm sure it won't develop into that again. We do hope. It's a bit much to ask people to put up with for a long time. And, well, 2 days is a little bit much, all right. So others around the place, really bear in mind that there's neighbours near you or whatever, and try and keep the place reasonably quiet. As quiet as is possible. Okay, the traffic in and out, nothing can be done there, but the noise outside the place, especially night time, well, there are people a little older than yourselves there and are trying to get sleep and all the rest. Give them some little chance. It needs the backing of the public in this thing, not just the people in radio. Now, you know about our march, I'm sure, next Friday. Friday, 2 o'clock GPO. It should be fun. It's a lot to ask some people to do, to perhaps give up a half day's work and help out there, join in. If everybody did that, there'd be more than O'Connell Street full, so we're asking something at last. If you bear in mind that we've been running a long time without asking people to sacrifice much. At Easter time we ask you to sacrifice a few bob, 50 pence or a pound, to buy an Easter egg for some deprived kid that simply won't have any, and to part with roughly the same around Christmas time to buy a small toy to help out around the place, and you can be sure to go to deserving causes, the kids that simply won't have anything else. They just don't go anywhere and everywhere. And the staff here don't get them. Whether they're deprived kids or not, they don't get them. They just go to outside. You can be sure they get a good resting home. Now, everybody has helped us out there along the way. The last time I asked you for help for something biggish was the march long way back, 1978, and that was a Saturday. It wasn't a great sacrifice. This time around it's a case of asking somebody to part with a half a day's pay. It's a fair little bit, especially on a Friday when you need a few bob for the drink and all the rest of it. So maybe you can help, maybe you can't. If you leave it to everybody else and say, well, you go to work and everybody else will do it, nobody will be there bar the school kids. So perhaps you can help. As I said, we've been there a long time. We do our little bit. We help out as best we can. Some like the programme, some would like improvements here, there and yonder. We can do it all little by little. And as you see, things are going rough at the moment. Raids are near at hand. But we will soldier on, so that's what we're asking. Out, lend your support to not just Radio Dublin, to local radio. It's not a Radio Dublin march now, next Friday. It's a local radio march. I'm assuming there'll be lads there, young, old, or whatever, with banners for support. Radio Nova, Radio Sunshine, ABC Radio, Westside, and all sorts of stations around the city, as well as the country stations. There's an odd contingent apparently coming up from the country, Limerick, Cork, Waterford, and places like that. Anybody else further afield there listening on shortwave, and they'd like to get themselves organised there, if you can get yourselves organised and get up here to Dublin on Friday next and get to the DPO at 2 o'clock, well, there you are. If you'd like to bring a banner along to promote your own radio station, you're very welcome. And on top of that, radio stations around the city and the countryside, a fair few have station jingles. Nearly every station has a station jingle of some sort. If you'd like to get it along on cassette tape, bring it up with you or whatever, preferably, if it'd be better if you could get it along beforehand, the tape with your station jingles and all the rest of it on it. We'd like to have them for our float with the music and all the rest as we go along, because you won't be getting just Radio Dublin jingles as we go from the GPO over to Leinster House. You should be able to hear Nova, Sunshine, and all the rest of the stations around, whether they're down in ABC in Waterford or ERI or East Coast or whatever. Any station jingles that are available to the station here, they'll be on the truck on Friday, and they'll get as much airspace as the Radio Dublin wants. It's as simple as that. This is more or less a march to get a license for local radio, not just a Radio Dublin license march, a local radio march to straighten out the situation. Nobody wants them closed down, and the only way you'll prevent it being closed down is to get out, show your bit of support there, and that is next Friday. You might think it's a bit much giving up a half day's pay and all the rest, but well, how long were you asked by radio stations of any sort to actually do something, make a sacrifice? Well, it's a long time back, I'm sure. So there you are. Now, some are prepared to make a sacrifice. I do hear there's one pub at least closing up in the city, and the staff are going to march. The Truckers' Federation have been in touch. They're all on fire. A smallish convoy of 40-foot articulated trucks, no more than 100 or so, joining in said march, which should be, well, a bit of fun anyhow. I do remember we had such a convoy from Whitehall last year, the Whitehall car park up to Dollymount. It toured through town and everywhere else. If you were in town that way, sure, that day, it was a great sight, wasn't it? Miles upon miles of trucks. It was that day, it was an aid of handicapped kids. They brought them out to Dollymount. They had great fun. They had marquees, they had a little disco and all the rest of it. They had great fun for the day. And this time round, well, truckers are suggesting that they join in as part of this little parade. Well, that will add some little bit to the parade. We're to straighten out them minor little technicalities of assembly points and such like tomorrow. Those of you who aren't connected with organisations and trucking, if you have a truck, you're more than welcome to join in. If you're just an ordinary lorry, van or whatever. As far as I can see at this point in time, what we will be doing is arranging that trucks on the North City would assemble at Whitehall car park around about 2 o'clock, about midday, that's 12 o'clock next Friday. Whitehall car park, I'm sure you know it, Collins Avenue Junction there, around 12 o'clock on Friday. And here on the South City, the best assembly point I can think of that won't disrupt traffic and all the rest of it is behind the station here on Colbert Road, if trucks can start lining up from the Island Bridge end of it, backing back up the way, and they can back way back up here, a mile and a half before you get to Ballyfermot. That's a long line of trucks. If it needs more, they can continue on up into Ballyfermot, But that's the general idea. Around midday again Friday, each convoy should be able to move off around about 1:30 and head for town. Now, that's the general idea. We've an awful lot of details to straighten out as to what trucks will be there, won't be there, whether an awful lot are willing to give up time and all the rest. It does seem at this point in time that a fair few are willing to come along. But that's the general idea there. So if the lads working in the factory and the office and all the rest of it can take time off, well, it's a few bob off. But if you think of the cost of a 40-foot Arctic off the road for a half a day or a little more, well, it's a bit more than your week's, your little half day's wages. So you'd maybe like to lend a hand there. Now, besides that, I'm sure there'll be school kids there. What we'd like to do this time around in the March is not just kids to take the day off and Mitch from school. If there are some have exams next Friday, well, the situation there being that if you could all band yourselves together and decide that you're either the majority are or are not going to the march. If the majority are not going to the march, you're as well settle into school and do your exams. Now, if the majority are going to the march, wouldn't it be as handy to approach the teacher and say, well, there's 20 in this class here and there's 19 of us going to this local radio march on Friday next. We simply won't be in. There's an exam on that day, can be put off till some other day. I'm sure there'll be no actual problem there. No doubt some of us here will be on to the Department of Education tomorrow to try and regularise the situation that perhaps it's a good day to have a school holiday. It might be as well have a school holiday on that particular day. Now, that's the thing on Friday. So we're expecting everybody there. All our old supporters who have been up. It's amazing. People we didn't like before. People we did like and we haven't seen for years, and it's amazing the number of people that have arrived along. People that have been in radio for years and we haven't seen. Listeners that have been there in the background for years on end. They've been in touch now and then. All of a sudden they all arrive. That's what has me actually hoarse. The number of people in the place here over the past couple of days, and they're fairly well non-stop talking to everybody until 4 and 5 in the morning. It's been hectic, but it's been good. It's been exciting. At least I will say that for Mr. Nealon. He has done one thing. He's united radio stations. He's brought radio out of a rut. I think a lot will admit that it had got into a rut lately. And by that I mean everyone was using, or the majority were using radio as a tape recorder. It was background music. They simply didn't know what this jockey was on or anything else. I'm just going to flick back this tape here. Don't mind the clicks. But they were just using the radio as a tape recorder. Background music, they didn't even know what this jockey was on or what he said or anything else. It had got into a rut. Now things have changed a great deal. Listeners are paying attention to every word going out on the radio. It's an information service as well as a music service and all the rest. It's great to be back to that. It really is. So let's hope it stays that way for some little time. Don't mind the odd chugging in the background there. That's our tape machine as it rewinds and winds and all the rest. Time to stop it, I think. It is, yeah, that sounds a little bit better. Now, we've got all sorts of people on the phone about the situation. It's great to have such encouraging phone calls and all the rest of it. It's great fun. We actually had one man on the phone, he's saying, only one. Out of all the phone calls, hundreds upon hundreds of them, one man said we should finish off. We're breaking the law. It's disgraceful and all the rest of it. So I did point out to the good gentleman, well, we are breaking the law technically, all right. And there are others doing the same thing, breaking the law in a different way, and it doesn't seem to matter. Surely it's time to tidy up that end of things first and give out a punishment that will actually suit the crime. That doesn't seem to be done. When you think of our breaking the law, we're playing music. In Radio Dublin, there's no talks of interference or all the rest of it. But that is still breaking the law, and the punishment to suit the crime would appear to be a £10,000 fine or 2 years in jail or both. It seems a bit much now to be playing music to people who just want to listen to the radio. On the other hand, then, the other extreme, punishments to suit crimes don't seem to be working out exactly as they should. Apparently a group of youngsters around the city can band themselves together as a vigilante force or whatever they call themselves. I'm nothing against actual vigilante forces in the city now to cut out crime, housebreaking, car thieves and such like, but this little group of youngsters set themselves up and toured around one of the centre city parks, armed with all sorts of strange implements, usually lumps of timber or branches of trees or whatever. Anybody they didn't like, they could beat them up. I picked on one poor gentleman there and they beat him to death. And, well, the punishment to suit that crime, of course, was the Probation Act. Isn't it amazing? And you talk about the £10,000 fines for these radio operators. £10,000. It couldn't go near to paying for a man's life. There's no money could pay for that. And still these youngsters can wander off and get out of court, just walk straight out. Probation Act. Poor little lads, they've suffered their deprived homes or whatever it is. It's the social environment. It's this, that and the other. Don't do it again. Be good little lads now. Go off home. Well, there you are. That's probably what's wrong with our country. Our priorities seem to have gone a bit haywire. Personally, I don't know what I'd have done with those lads. More than likely, if I was in there, I'd have hung them. It's simple as that. However, I'm not. Maybe as well. Now, perhaps Mr. Mitchell and a few others would think of little things like that along the line. There's very little harm being done in radio. There's talks of interference caused by these stations around the city. Now, some will say there is and some will say there isn't. There is, and there's no disputing some of the interference. Some of it should have been cured. Some of it was not known about. You take the Radio Nova interference in England. Their KISS FM frequency 101.7 is on a commercial section of the band over there. Everybody here is inclined to think that FM 88 to 108 is the broadcasting band for broadcasting on. It is in Ireland, but in England it isn't. 88 to 100 is a broadcasting band. 100 to 108 is commercial. It's in use by people like the police, the ambulance and the fire brigade and all the rest of it. Now they're far away, and if you're on low power, if you're on a few hundred watts and covering a local area like Dublin, that's okay, it won't get as far as England. If you're on 10,000 watts on FM and you're up high in the mountains, it will get into England and it will interfere. There's no doubts on that. It did happen. There has been interference in England. It's caused disruption of commercial activity on a fair few bands. But the thing against that is that the Department of Posts and Telegraphs knew about it, but they couldn't be bothered getting on to Nova to tell them that there's interference being caused abroad. Stop, or else. I suppose they'd feel that to be condoning the broadcasting or whatever. But way back, a couple of years back, when we started on shortwave, we had a nasty letter from the department saying that we were interfering with a coastal station in England with our shortwave frequency. We were on about 6210 or thereabouts, and we were to stop immediately. Well, within about 5 minutes of the letter arriving here, we were off shortwave. We were off for about 2 days until we acquired another crystal to take us onto a totally different section of the band. I'm sure if the department had written to Nova on the situation of interference and told them that they were interfering abroad, get off that channel, sure they would have done it within a few minutes, even if it meant going off for a day or two and changing channels. Thing is, they weren't told about it. The Sunshine interference in the airport, there's one of the radars there has been knocked out since Sunshine started in operation. Sunshine themselves must have known about it. I knew about it within a very short time of Sunshine starting up, that one of the approach radars on one of the runways, which was there for use in emergency where the visibility was bad, there was fog or rain or whatever, it was to help an aircraft actually land on the runway. That runway couldn't be used under those circumstances, which is, one might say, dangerous. It possibly is, yeah. There again, I don't know if Sunshine were notified about that, but they must have known. I knew about it. An awful lot of other people knew about it. That problem should have been cured long ago. It leaves the department the go-ahead now to say that interference was being caused. But as I said, a lot of the interference, it could be assumed that it might interfere and all the rest of it, but there is no guarantee that it did. Nobody knew about the Department of Posts and Telegraphs, and they simply didn't tell anyone. At this point in time, they decide to tell the newspapers, of course. They're good little boys all of a sudden. Well, now, where's the rest of the news before we go too far and time gets tied up there? I think you've seen the raids and we've had enough of that now. As for the going off on radio stations and all the rest of it, most involved in radio just haven't been through a raid before. Radio Dublin have been through them, a few other stations have. But most people haven't. I assume that it's perfectly ordinary and all the rest of it. Well, those involved in the last two raids there, the Sunshine and Nova, will tell you what it's like. It's a kind of a traumatic experience, terribly frightening. It is. You have these large gentlemen in dark uniforms towering over you. Terribly much the law then. What they say goes. And you get the impression that if you smile, if you sneeze, if you say one word wrong, that they're going to pick you up by the scruff of the neck, dump you in the patrol car or paddy wagon or whatever you would like to call it, and you'll be carted off to the police station and you may not see Mammy and Daddy for 6 months. That's the impression they give while they're actually there. When they're gone, it's okay to sit back and relax and think, ah, sure, that's over. I was only imagining it all, but that's the experience you go through on a first raid. Now, the second and third time around, well, that's a different kettle of fish. It's something like war games. You get into the intelligence business, as you might have seen from earlier readings of extracts of a little piece of paper. You get to know how they work, how they tick. Well, then, it's fun and games. It's a kind of a war game situation. People like to play them. The army were playing them there the other night, war games up between Dublin here and Gormanstown and Dublin Airport, places like that. It's all great fun. It disrupts things an awful lot, you might see. It disrupts people's lives. Well, not their lives, their work, certainly it does. Because, well, things get a bit out of hand, all this excitement and all the rest. If you think of next Friday, that will disrupt a lot. That will disrupt business in the centre city. Anyone intending travelling through the city, across the city or anything like that next Friday, they shouldn't. It just won't be possible to travel normally, and you won't support us after you've got across the city because it would take several hours to get there. Now that is disruption. But as I said, if the Department of Posts and Telegraphs want to play games, no better man to play the games. We picked a Friday because normally Doyle Erden are open on a Friday. Before usually picked a Saturday. It didn't disrupt things too much. There wasn't a great deal of traffic through town, well, not as heavy as on a Friday. And Doyle Erden was closed, so there was only a guard there to actually take in petitions and all the rest of it. Well, this time around it's a little bit different now. There's normally a great deal of traffic in O'Connell Street on a Friday, even a Friday afternoon. It will be a bit disrupted, I know, but the PAYE march did roughly the same. They got the point across, and I suppose we intend doing exactly the same. We intend marching from GPO over to Leinster House, and if there are 50 or 100 or 40 foot articulated trucks along in the parade as well, well and good. They'll be touring up around Parnell Square, then stretch all the way down O'Connell Street, Westmoreland Street, or Dunleer Street, around the Green, and right up to Leinster House. That's the way they'll stretch. And traffic all over that area will be tied up. Perhaps we'll get our point across if enough people turn out. So we're hoping that enough people will turn out. But like I said, little men behind office desks and can sit down and draw up these great plans for closing down local radio stations that the majority of people want. Well, if they want to try it, that's okay. Let's play games. But as I said, I prefer in the long run to sit down and talk about it. It is better for everybody. Nobody can win out of a situation like this. Radio Dublin could keep going for so long while there are transmitters available, but the forces of law and order are greater than ourselves, and eventually they would win. Granted, we've had some little time now to barricade everything in, but the staff need access to the station. They should be able to walk in the hall doors the same as anybody else, and they can still do that. Our main problem is that we'll have to encase our little transmitter. If we have a week or two, it'll be encased inside of, oh, no doubt 18 inches thick of solid concrete, and it won't be possible to even repair it. So it'll take some little time for anybody to get at it. But we intend protecting that little gadget there, because it's the only contact listeners have with the station. It's the only way we can keep them happy. It's the only way we know how. So we'll try and protect that little baby there for as long as we can. And when it does go, we'll assume it will go at some stage. It may go tomorrow morning. That's the next expected time for the department to come along. If it doesn't go then, it may go on Friday during the march. If not on Friday, well, the situation will calm down for about 3 weeks. Perhaps they'll go back raiding Nova again. It does appear that they will go back raiding Nova anyhow, because if you read the paper there the other day, Mr. Nealon's statement that when he heard that Nova were back, he said he had anticipated such a move. So no doubt the second and third raids and such things on Nova are they're planned long ago, and then no doubt they'll be put into operation, I'd say more than likely next week. So perhaps we're safe for a little bit longer, perhaps we're not. We just simply don't gamble on these things. We tighten up, and the more time we have to tighten up, the better for us, and the better for listeners and all the rest of it. It means we can stay on the air longer. And if gentlemen come in to remove our nice little transmitter, well, we can broadcast most of the proceedings live over the air. I haven't got, unfortunately, the tape of the raid on the Herbert Street premises of Nova. I hear it was good, but dear me, the language of some of those gentlemen on raids, and the going out over radio, it's terrible. If there was a disc jockey and he said things like that on radio, shoo, there'd be letters into the newspaper saying this is what's encouraging youngsters into crime, the language of them. So perhaps next time round, if gentlemen raiding radio stations with these search warrants and all of that, so if they bear in mind that they might be going live over radio, keep the language nice, polite and all the rest of it. That's the way it should be done. No rough stuff. Now, where are we? The rest of the news, and we gallop down to it, is 25 to 3. It's time to nearly go, if we can possibly. Nova Park is still open. And whether the Nova go off or on the air or whatever it may be, Nova Park still as itself remains open as a restaurant, a bar, cabaret and all the rest of it there. Now, the Caroline, I think it is up there. Is it Caroline? I'm sure it is, yeah. She left the phone number there. Anybody in the radio scene are invited along there Mondays and Tuesday nights. That's tomorrow and Tuesday, if you want to gather yourselves there and sit down and talk about radio. There's nothing formal or anything like that in it, if you like to take yourselves along. There's a pound ahead admission. It's apparently to cover the extension business and all the rest of it. I do hear